Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another opportunity to have an in-depth conversation about topics that really make a difference, because this show is about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decision possible regarding your health and well-being. And as always, it's so important to have an open mind, to be willing to explore, to investigate possibilities. I remember one of my favorite sayings that I've come across, and that is the most expensive thing we can own is a closed mind. And this show is about opening minds to possibilities. And I'm going to jump right in because we have a really important conversation today. And we're going to be exploring protocols for these times to keep you safe and healthy. And my guest is Dr. Benjamin Rothstein. So Dr. Rothstein is a graduate from the Des Moines University College of Osteopathic Medicine and Surgery. Following a rotating internship, he served 3 years as a physician in the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. There he developed protocols for testing the effectiveness of vaccines against Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis while overseeing volunteers for vaccine research. Dr. Rothstein completed his tour of duty in 1986 and then went on to private practice in Baltimore, Maryland, practicing family medicine and osteopathic manipulative therapy. After nearly 20 years in practice, Dr. Rothstein became the medical educational director of Age Diagnostic Laboratories. Subsequently, he formed Advanced Health Enterprises, where he designed programs and lectured on bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and on the prevention of Alzheimer's dementia based on his book, Brain Fog. In 2016, he became the medical director at the City Medical Center, and in 2018, Dr. Rothstein pioneered VaxGuard, a nutritional product, a nutraceutical product designed to mitigate the possible side effects of vaccines. And presently, he does online consultations for complex medical issues using non-traditional medical approaches. So we have a fantastic conversation in store for you, and it's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Rothstein to the show today. So Dr. Rothstein, welcome to What Women Must Know. It's a pleasure having you with us today.
Thank you. The pleasure is mine.
You know, I want to say that I'm fascinated by what you have helped to design. But before we go there, I'm just really curious, Dr. Rothstein. I always like to ask these questions of my guests. What was it in your journey in the healing arts, starting as an osteopathic physician, going through very traditional approaches and practice, that opened you to other possibilities that led to the path of your professional career as someone who's really open to these effective alternative protocols and products?
Well, it began when I was looking into different medical schools to apply to. And I saw a little sign. This is back in 1975. I saw a little sign about an osteopathic physicians. What is that? And I went to look into it, and I saw this guy, an old-time guy, and he was treating people, and he was curing all kinds of problems using his hands without drugs and surgery. I said, really? You can do that? I never saw that before. So I went to different places, all different other people working in an osteopathic hospital, and I checked out different routes of people looking at this, and I said, this is really cool. It's a real medical school with additional training. And how to use your hands to diagnose and treat people. And so I really got into it, and it was so I turned down traditional medical schools to go to this osteopathic school in Des Moines, Iowa. And so in Des Moines, Iowa, I ran into some great practitioners and watched them work over and over again, and I just got into it. When I went to my own practice, I know how to treat people, and they get well, but it wouldn't stay well. You shouldn't get to go back to the doctor every single week after week, month after month, over and over, It just didn't seem right. Didn't seem right to the patient. It was good for business, but wasn't good for the patients. It didn't seem right. So I started looking into what is wrong. What am I missing? And I've always been interested about nutrition. They'll hear a little this. They hear about things about diet. You know, back in the 70s, for doctors to talk about nutrition, 70s, early 80s, it was like it was heresy. But, you know, I looked into it. I kind of sneaked beyond the curtain, you know. And beyond that curtain is a universe of healing. A universe, so many ways to heal, so many factors involved. We're so interesting, we're so complex and so simple at the same time. And I just started exploring all kinds of things and became open to it. So things started to make sense. I mean, you always thought that, you know, learning biochemistry in medical school, what do you know biochemistry for? But biochemistry came alive because, you know, I didn't realize, you know what vitamins are? They're key cofactors in the Krebs cycle, in the metabolic process, boost energy and function of the body. And I didn't know that. I didn't know what vitamins were. I thought, just, you take vitamins. Vitamins, they're actually essential nutrients to make every cell in the body work right. And the more I learned about it, the minerals and vitamins and those herbs and those detoxification, and just went on and on and on and on. And just it just was fascinating, fascinating world of healing out there. And so, you know, I got into it, and it just blossomed.
Once you step into that world of the many modalities that exist that supports the body to heal and regenerate, there's no end to learning.
No end, and there's no turning back. You can no longer be satisfied with the traditional medical approach. Once you get that world of healing, once you see what's possible, once you see people really get well, and turnarounds in people, you know, bioidentical hormone replacement therapies for people go through menopause, men go through andropause, and how interplay in nutrients goes, nutrition, diet, and the microbiome of the gut, and everything starts to fit in this massive, beautiful picture of how we're all created. It's amazing. And you put emotions and feelings into that and energy into it, and you just got this. It's wonderful. And you can't go back to traditional medicine after you've done that. There's no turning back. Once your mind is open, you can't close it up again. It doesn't feel right. Problem is, when your doctors get into this stuff, you kind of evokes a lot of attention, not always wanted attention. So it's a bit tricky when you get into this world of healing. It's a bit
right.
of
you know, the thought that just blows my mind is in the traditional allopathic reality, to have someone sit down for 15 minutes. I mean, I would go with my 90-year-old mother to her doctor's appointments, and she had, you know, numerous issues, and it would be a 15-minute appointment, basically spending most of the time entering data into the computer and very little conversation, and then she's out with a prescription, which is what, you know, the allopathic medicine approach has become. You know, prescriptive symptoms, you match the drug, you don't really deal with the whole person, and then you're out of the office in 15 minutes. It's a travesty, really.
It's not medicine. I can't see a patient in less than half an hour. Give me a second. Sorry. Thank you. Sorry, I swallowed the wrong way. I can't see a patient less than half an hour. It's impossible. You need so much to get through in a person with their whole life and what's needed for them. It's ludicrous to do a 15-minute visit and expect to come up with a therapeutic, you know, approach that will really help somebody properly. I mean, you can take care of an emergency, you know, strep throat, you know, do something real quick, you can put a Band-Aid on real quick. You can't heal somebody in that quick. You don't. Nothing happens in 15 minutes.
Right. So that's why when you start dipping your toes into the world of more holistic approaches, let's just call it, you see the possibilities to really assist people and healing at that root cause level. because until you get to the underlying dynamics or issues, a person can never permanently be healed. And that's what we all want. As, you know, practitioners, we want to support a person to be resolved, not just put a Band-Aid on something and then have more chronic issues show up down the track because we haven't addressed the underlying needs, whatever that may be, whether it's addressing the structural problems in a person, like with osteopathic manipulation or nutritional deficiencies or toxicities or other imbalances, as well as emotional imbalances that are such prime drivers of physical imbalances in the body.
Absolutely. Hit the nail on the head. And it's so true. It's, once you added out the, world of traditional medicine into the world of how to get people, what people can get them well. And by the way, one of the biggest barriers I have to getting people well is they don't always want to get well. They want to do what they're doing and get themselves sick and keep, and get well despite one of the same things that got them sick in the first place. And there, people have to want to get well. That's an interesting conundrum. I want to feel better. Do something for me. Do something to me, but don't make me change my life. And that can be, it works sometimes. Just sometimes you do add something or take something away and you fix something and you get better. But oftentimes, we have an emotional tag, we have a habit or something that gets into a way. And I'll tell you something interesting I'm experiencing with lately. Here's some interesting stories.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
A story is about forgiveness. The amount of pain people carry inside their soul when they're holding on to resentment, holding on to anger, you can see it in them. Once you become sensitive, you say, wow, this person must be really angry about something. And I found that when I talk to people about how to forgive and how to let go, the transitions that occur is just astonishing. I was talking to someone today who was going through some very difficult times, and we talked about forgiveness. She tried it, and she said, I can't believe what happened this whole week. And this thing, and all the stories, and one, she's getting some treatment for cancer treatments. And she calls from who's been having an issue with for many years. And she says, you know what? I'm going to forgive this person. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. I choose to forgive this person and not have a charge of what's going on there, about them. And she did that, and she got a call from somebody else she didn't know, who offered to pay for 3 months of her. That's a lot of money. And it just, out of nowhere, this angel appeared. Just when a person lets go of resentment, so many things, your heart is heart open, your mind is better, you sleep better, your temperament is better, life is sweeter. The emotional impact of resentment and anger is so intense. And you can't expect a person to really feel and be well if they're holding on to anger and resentment. So that's a small, when you talk about emotions, that's one example of taking a broad look at somebody, what they're really going through and why they're sick in the first place. It opens up doorway, opens up pathways and to find out what's really wrong with the person.
I love that story, Dr. Rustin, because it's a person who, first of all, has been dealing with a chronic issue, cancer, right? So your life is on the line. And at that point, you're willing to look at things that you might not have wanted to look at. But when you are such a critical place, it's like you're willing to make changes. And the fact that this patient of yours was willing and open to allow forgiveness into her heart and heal the energies that were blocking this flow of life force, then so many possibilities opened up into her life that supported her life force and her healing, which wasn't necessarily related to the issue that she was forgiving, but it's just the whole energetic of a person changes, and she opens and all of us can open to possibilities because we're not shutting down from holding on to that anger and resentment. We're opening to life and the many blessings and possibilities that life is providing us.
You know, that's the one critical part of her story. When I first examined her, I'm talking to her and what's going on, and the history, and you look at her eyes, you see the, what's going on. I said, what is bothering you so much? It took a while of conversation to find she admitted, she realized, yeah, she's angry at this particular person. People wronged her and this, that, and the other, and she had a lot of anger and resentment in her heart. And as we talked about letting go of resentment, and then that's when I saw her subsequently, she said, like a resentment, and then the healing was coming to her from an unexpected place. Someone was paying for her therapies. So the resentment caused it. Releasing it opened the possibilities for healing.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. That's such an important reminder for all of us and why we need to address the wounds that we carry, to do this spiritual work of bringing more forgiveness, gratitude, and love into our lives. It really is the most powerful healing force we have. And
right.
Yeah, I love that story. So I want us to talk about your fascination with vaccines. I thought it was really interesting in your past that you helped to develop this vaccine against Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis, which is an amazing word I'm even able to say. So you've been, you know, obviously you've been, for whatever reasons,
it's very interesting.
This world.
It's really fascinating. Working with the military is very involved in vaccines because, you know, more soldiers die from bugs than from bullets. That's the saying. It's not bullets, it's bugs that kill their soldiers, protect them. So, and I kind of got involved and interested in that stuff. And then a funny thing happened. You know, my own kids and get shots, don't get shots. But then when the data started coming out, what the vaccines do, I said, some doesn't seem right. I knew flu shots were fake. I knew flu shots were really a bad idea. But I was part of a committee that determines how what H and N's were using for which virus and flu. And we got it right one time out of 15, 20 times to get it right. It's really inaccurate. Flu shots are really basically bogus. As a matter of fact, a little side point. Did you know that, influenza always affects the lungs and the respiratory tract? Now, a flu shot, I'll explain why this is important in just a second. Flu shots, the shots stimulate what's called the IgG and IgM immunoglobulin, the immune system. But it's the wrong one. The lungs are affected by IgA. If you take vitamin A, give a high dose of vitamin A once a year, you don't get the flu, any flu. So I learned how nutrition affects the immune system like that. Once I learned, it was an interesting study back in the 80s, a journal called Lancet, and I just saw that. And these things are all kind of popping up all in my background of my mind, thinking about these things. And all the information came out about how vaccines are hurting people. And I had a friend of mine has two kids, and they got the MMR shot, and they both became autistic. I saw those kids. I knew they were my patients. I knew the kids before and after they were autistic. They were not autistic before, and they became autistic afterwards. I saw it happen. And then I talked to other people, and people told me stories of this thing and that thing, and then correlation between vaccines, asthma, allergies, eczema. What's going on here? And then, you know, I got upset. And I did develop some resentment, which I have a hard time releasing the truth. And that is forcing this stuff on kids when you don't need to. But my grandkids couldn't go to school without getting their shots. And their parents were not willing to homeschool the kids. They couldn't. So I had to find ways to protect the kids so they don't get hurt from the vaccines. So I did more research about it. And I came out with a couple of ways that vaccines injure kids. And I also saw this in the Army, too. I was taking care of guinea pigs, human guinea pigs, or vaccine experiments. So I remember seeing what's going on with people. I see how people react and what all the things that cause, the vaccines can cause. And then when I saw that, I said, oh, there's five pathways that vaccines injure people. And then things started clicking, click, 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 click. Ever have that kind of moment where things just click and everything makes sense out of all, trying all of a sudden like a breakthrough?
Mm-hmm.
You ever had that?
That moment. Yes, that epiphany moment.
Right, an epiphany moment. And I had the epiphany. I said, I got it. We have all these different pathways. You have the injury by the, you know what an adjuvant is in a vaccine?
Right. But let's define it for everyone listening.
And adjuvants are what makes the body hyperreactive to the vaccine. Without adjuvants, vaccines will not work. So an adjuvant really put the immune system hyper alert, and they hyper stimulate the system and get inflammation going in the body, so you'll respond stronger to the vaccine. So this way you need very few viral particles, because the adjuvants make the body hyperreactive. And that's great scientifically. It works. The problem is the adjuvants cause all the problems. They cause the problems because they get the body so irritated, inflamed, and hyperactive. They have a hyper-responsive immune system, and hence you get asthma, allergies, eczema. And then you have and someone's brain problems and so forth, all because the adjuvants are just irritating the body too much. So everything started to click. What if I could take an adjuvant and bind it so it didn't inflame or didn't break the blood-brain barrier? Citric acid does it, like lemon juice. But citric acid actually binds the adjuvants, especially the metallic ones like aluminum. And then what do you do? What if I could find some way to protect the brain and the liver and the body from the inflammation that adjuvants cause? Because, you know, some of these kids get a vaccine and they cry for days on end. They can't, inconsolable crying and screaming for hours and days sometimes. And when that happens, that's because the brain is on fire. The brain is like a type of meningitis. Not really, but type of meningitis. It's inflamed. And the kids are screaming. They're in so much pain they can't help themselves. And so then, what if you protect the brain, if you increase glutathione in the brain. Glutathione is the brain's most potent antioxidant. And you know what increases in glutathione? NAC, N-acetylcysteine. So I put NAC. What about the body gets a reaction? Don't get reactions, they get all inflamed or irritated or get rashes and so forth. That's called a mast cell activation disorder. And mast cells, our white blood cell, produces histamine, other type of bradykinins, other things in the body that's irritating to the body. You know, like you have an allergy, you take an antihistamine, right? So the mast cells are producing histamine. And if you hit them the right way, they spew it out like all over the place, causing all kinds of reactions. Like a lot of times kids, if you're getting their shots, you can tell. My daughter was working in a daycare center for little kids, you know, little babies and so forth, and she knew when they got their shots. Runny noses, coughs, colds, sneezing, crying, fetching, all that kind of stuff. And so it's a mast cell activation problem the kids are having. So you can stabilize that easily with quercetin and vitamin C. And then you have a problem of getting out of detoxify the body. Body can get rid of all the junk. And the junk is gotten rid of by helping the methylation pathways. Methylation pathway is a reason why the brain can be, body can be detoxified. It does many things, one of which is to detoxify the body. And you take methylfolate, methyl B12, and trimethylglycine. All these things help the body to detoxify itself. And so you have all these different things together, and before you know it, you've got a way to protect the body and the brain, especially from the effects of side effects of vaccines.
So, you know, so you're talking about four different methods of action that you have developed in a product based on your observations and your knowledge and your experience that can mitigate the causes of severe reactions from vaccines that children were experiencing, which, it's not talked about. I don't think parents are given any of these options when they go and get their kids vaccinated. They don't even, I'm sure doctors do not recommend anything. Maybe an aspirin, right? Which is insane because we know, as you just clearly explained, all the different mechanisms of harm that occurs from these vaccinations that children are given routinely and mandated in many places. This is just like a blinding flash of the obvious, right? It's a simple formula in a sense of putting the right ingredients together in a form that can be easily taken to support children, I would imagine, before they get vaccinated and then if they need it afterwards.
Right. And you brought up a very good point because you need it afterwards even more so than before. So when you give a shot, it's called a draining lymph nodes. Anything that goes in the body has to drain, goes to the system. Well, the draining lymph nodes, it's like it holds on to the stuff that comes out of the shot. So the lymph nodes, the nearest lymph nodes to the shot, are going to hold on to the adjuvants and leach it out slowly over 4, 5, 6 weeks. So really, body's being assaulted for about 5 or 6 weeks after the shot. So you have to take the product for at least 5 or 6 weeks afterwards so you don't get affected by the leaching from the blood from the lymph nodes.
Because if you're being affected, if you're affected for 5 or 6 weeks from the toxic effects, toxic ingredients, then there's a lot of damage that's going on in the body during those 5 or 6 weeks.
There is indeed. Yeah. There is indeed. It's hard to track.
Yeah. What have you found? So you created this. These ingredients, and you have put it into a form of a powder or tablet, and it's called VaxGuard. And I just want to share with my audience that I found my way to you because I am in a group of doctors and scientists and people in the health field who are sharing information and talking about the present situation that's going on and alternative approaches, and someone mentioned this product that you've developed called VaxGuard, and it caught my attention. So I looked it up and wanted to know more. I'm always on the hunt for solutions to problems, Dr. Rothstein. So this was, how I was guided to find you, and it's just so fascinating to learn more about you and this deep and profound understanding and commitment you have to finding and creating solutions for people, which we'll talk about how it benefits us as adults as well. But you started with children. What did you find when you formulated VaxGuard and then offered it to children? What were the results?
The kids don't get sick after their shots. And it's so amazing. The kids don't get sick after their shots. And that's even if that's all it does, even if it doesn't prevent long-term, I think it does prevent long-term, but even if it's all it does, keeps, because kids, after their shots, they tend to also get ear infections, and then they'll need antibiotics, right? And it starts a whole, cascade of things, like a domino effect. So it protects kids from getting sick. I don't know about long-term. I have not been out long enough. But I have to presume it'll have long-term benefits. Have to resume that because
right.
Otherwise,
I was just going to wonder: does it help children who are exhibiting side effects from taking all this, the schedule of vaccines, if they take it down the track a bit? Have you seen benefits in this situation?
I don't have enough kids. With enough kids to give you a clear answer, that it will. Okay. But it seems to make a difference because the combination helps to de-inflame the brain and stabilize the mast cells being overreactive and help the detoxification process. So it seems it would be beneficial. Now, the good thing is, it's not going to hurt. We say this kind of glibly, but it's very important. The first thing we have in medicine is primo non nocere, first do no harm. And I had to find a way to make this so you won't get harmed by taking this. So if a kid has it, try it for a few weeks, see what happens. My guess is they have some reaction to vaccines in the past. They'll feel better after about 3 weeks of taking it. And then you'll stop and come back and you'll see. You got to keep taking it, maybe even for years. I don't know how long it'll be yet. We don't have enough experience yet. but logically, looking at it scientifically, it's going to work. Give a little higher dose you would for preventative treatment and continue for as long as you need.
This is very exciting to me because you have formulated a product that is easy to take, by the way, because it's in a powder form for children. Initially, it was great for children. And it's addressing all the key issues and pathways that need to be supported to optimize our body when we are putting toxins into it, and therefore allowing the body to properly and effectively, safely be able to detox and you know, give the body the extra oomph it needs to address this insult that's gone into the body, and then to use it after you've gotten the vaccine. If you have to do that, then this supports the body in dealing with that. It makes a lot of sense to me, and the protocol of those ingredients also kind of are blinding flashly obvious because they are critical components that we now know, as we're understanding how to protect ourselves now from the effects of these jabs that are going on. It's become evident that these ingredients, the citric acid, the NAC, the quercetin, the B vitamins, are all necessary for our ability to not only stay healthy so we don't get any kind of virus, but also supports recovery. So let's talk about how this has now become relevant for adults. What are your thoughts about what's going on now with the virus that's, the COVID virus, the variations in it that we're seeing, and the role of Vaxgard?
Well, the vaccine is first being rolled out, I was talking to some friends of mine, one fellow in particular. He's a surgeon at a hospital, and he had to get the vaccine. I said, listen, how about trying this thing? I said, sure, we'll try it. And he tried it, and everyone in the hospital, everyone got to get the shot. And he also got the shot. And he says, everyone in the hospital, he was the only one that did not get sick after getting the COVID shot. So that's pretty significant. And I've had one person, only two people who still got sick from the COVID shot, but the vast majority did not get sick from the COVID shot when taking this. So that was pretty impressive. That was our venture at that.
These shots, whatever we want to call them, whatever name we want to give this, the vaccine is probably the least accurate.
we all know.
What have you learned about it? And because this is these present time jabs and boosters that are going on are so different in nature from the vaccines that were developed for all these other conditions, whether it's the flu vaccine. I mean, this is a whole different animal going on, as we're learning, and having very different and therefore more debilitating reactions in some people. So what's your understanding of what's happening now, and why you believe, this formula that you've put together can really support people, even though mechanisms may be different than the usual types of vaccines? Does that make sense to you? Can you understand?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, the COVID shot is not truly a vaccine. I have a lot of problems with it for many reasons. One, the fact that forcing the body to produce from a generator of the spike proteins is probably one of the worst things you can do to the body. One of the worst things you can do to the body. And that produces the enemy. So he ends up with a mass reduction of spike proteins. And they say it only lasts for 12 or 18 hours. It's a lie. It goes on for a lot longer than that, maybe impermanent. And they're also concentrated in certain areas like the ovaries. We don't know about testicles. I don't know if it goes in the testicles or not, but I know it goes to the ovaries, high concentrations. And so we don't know what's going to happen with this thing. Also, by the spike proteins being there, it's not the best way to fend off coronaviruses. So it's really created a mixed bag. And then the recent article, and I didn't finish reading the article yet, so I got to analyze it more carefully, but what it seems like to say is that there's a decreased incidence of advanced COVID infections by having the vaccine, having the COVID shot, but there's a 23% increase of all-cause mortality. So out of 100 deaths, well, how does it work? 23% increase. So 23% increase of, and it's hard to put in numbers, the statistics, right? Intel work with statistics. If 100 people would die, 123 people will die if they had the COVID shot. So 23% more people are dying every month who have had the COVID shot than who have not had the COVID shot. And over the last year is the number. So it's really coming to be quite a problem. It's interesting because, you know, it's a gain of function, and we call it in the Army bioterrorism, or biological weapons. Well, that's called in the Army, but now they call it gain of function. And what it is that it's a very, very effective virus that causes clotting to occur. It's a thromboembolic process. And so the vaccine, the shot, does the exact same thing. The body becomes hypersensitive and starts clotting up small vessels. And everything starts. Because, you know, if blood flow is not good, nothing's good. It's all about the blood flow. And so, of course, obviously very simplistic. But if you inhibit flow of blood by any means, it's an absolute setup for disease and disaster. And if you have a pre-existing condition, it'll make it, you know, much, much worse. You know, like diabetics, for instance. Diabetics are already suffering from microvascular insufficiency. That's why they get hurt so easily, and they have such circulation problems and heart problems, and, you know, in their feet and areas where circulation is somewhat compromised. It makes those who are diabetic makes them much more compromised by taking the COVID shot. So really, having diabetes should be a contraindication for the COVID shot, because they're already on the edge. They're already compromised. And so if you're already compromised, it's like putting on a fire with kerosene. Not a good idea. So it also is a very, very effective treatments for it now. There's no reason to be sick in COVID. You get a little sick, but no reason to die or be hospitalized. It's so easy to treat now. There's no reason for people to really get that ill from COVID.
Can we also talk now about the effects of children, I mean, you know, whether 5 years of age or older, who are being forced to take this, you know, biological weapon, and the effects that are, well, I think we're going to see happening to children. I mean, this is the most terrifying thing of all, to be honest, is mandating this to children. What are your thoughts about what you expect to see happening to this population?
Let me explain the motivation behind it. There are some very good doctors behind this for a reason. They've seen little kids who get COVID. They may not die from it, but they get very sick, get very injured by the COVID, by this coronavirus. And so they've seen the kids get really sick, have real problems. They may not die from it, but they have real problems. So here it becomes very, very tricky. It's very tricky because if a child gets it Well, because coronavirus, they can have problems. They can have serious issues. And so we want to prevent it from happening. Women who get coronavirus tend to have to deliver sooner because they have clots and the placenta becomes not enough blood to keep the fetus alive. They have to deliver early. And so there's a real – I understand why so many good doctors really want to see this COVID shot in everybody. I understand that. The problem is that we have no clue. We just found out now, just published this article, a 23% increase of deaths who've had both shots. We have now kids getting the shots. We're having myocarditis, strokes. We never have ever seen strokes in young kids, and now strokes are happening in young kids. What is this telling you? It could be from the coronavirus, but it's being seen after getting the shots. And what's going on? What are we thinking? We should be focusing more on the treatment. But I wouldn't give it to a child. Matter of fact, if I had a young child, someone tried to give my child a shot, there's nothing I wouldn't do to that person to stop them from giving my child a shot. Nothing I wouldn't – I'll do anything possible to stop that from happening. I don't think any responsible parent would allow the child to be victimized. It's not necessary. There are many ways to treat it, many ways to deal with this, many ways to help the kids out. There's no way any self-respecting mother would allow them to put a medicine in their child's arm, and that medicine been shown. There's over 40,000 deaths from that medicine already. Probably a lot more than that. That was 2 months ago. And that's known, recorded deaths. And so why would any mother allow that happen to their child? I can't understand that, Cheryl. It doesn't make sense to me. But my child... You can do what? What? There's no way. It's so, you don't experiment on my child. Okay, a monkey, dogs, but not on my child? Where's animal studies? And the postmortem was animal studies. Where's the data? There is none. There's no research on this. An experiment on my kid? There's not a chance that needle will get near my child. Or my grandchild. No way. Anyway, because we don't know. It may be fine. It may be in 10 years, maybe just perfectly fine. We don't know. And
highly unlikely, I have to say.
Right.
I think in 10 years, people will have realized what a terrible, disastrous mistake was made by mandating these on everyone. Especially the children.
After Joseph Mengele's experiments on people, and the Nazis' experiments on people with different medications and procedures and treatments and so forth, after the incredible atrocities by the Germans on the world with their experiments, not the Germans, the Nazis, after those experiments, after World War II. There's two things happened in Nuremberg. One of the trials and one of the code. The Nuremberg code said never again, we will never allow anyone to be forced to do something to their body they don't want done to their body. Never again. And we established a code of human rights that you are not allowed ever to coerce, force a medication or a therapy on a person when they did not want it. Called a human rights violation. And they're doing it.
Yeah. And they are indeed. And that's why I want people to know about VaxGuard, because we're looking, I mean, all of us who are aware that we need to boost our immune system, we need to find protocols and strategies to basically ensure that our body is able to be healthy. And then if we do, for whatever reason, find a virus, whether it's coronavirus or whatever else brewing within us, and we have immediate things that we can rely upon to support the body in dealing with such a, you know, an attack, so to speak. So there are many protocols, there are many products. I mean, I have lots of things in my cabinet, which makes me very confident that my body can recover from anything. And I think that's what we all really are looking for. We need to feel secure that we have available to us safe and effective, natural, non-toxic solutions for supporting our immune system and overcoming any kind of viral experience. And, you know, VaxGuard to me seems to be such a good product that you have formulated to give the body the key components to basically stay healthy and then to support the body in recovering from any kind of, you know, invasion of the virus. So well, that's my thought. I mean, this is your product. Are you seeing it helpful for people in prevention of this coronavirus situation and help them even recover, either from getting it or if they have improved after getting the shot?
You know, you hit the nail on the head, by the way. It is a general immune system booster. The NAC, the quercetin, vitamin C, everything in there is actually good for almost any kind of cold. Any kind of cold, any kind of illness, allergies. You know, I take it if I'm doing a lot of going on a long run or very long hikes, I'll put a 6 scoops in a bottle of water and drink it. It gives me more energy and more stamina. So it is a good overall booster for the immune system and helps. It does. It makes you more energized. So it's a great product. And it's anytime you get any kind of whether it's a cold or any kind of illness or allergies or rashes, maybe even asthma, it'll be helpful for that. As well as preventing problems from vaccines, so it covers kind of a whole gambit of immune system issues.
And you know, it's so economical because if you had to go and purchase all those separate ingredients, it would cost a whole lot more than what you have put together in one formula, which is really economical. And I like that part of it too.
Yeah, because you got kids. Kids are expensive enough as it is. You don't need more. That was one of my thoughts, too. Had to make it tasty, too. The hard part is making it tasty. You know, what the kids going to like? And no one's like everything, but I had my grandkids, you know, tasting this one, and this one, that one, to finally found a formula that they liked the most. So, they like this one.
And they well, it's making, great that you had your little testers there.
Yeah. And they popped out of it, you know, they put like a you know, those little like a ice cube things with a popsicle stick in it, and they could like little treats, and it's like it's a big treat to have my VaxGuard formula for dessert. Kind of funny.
Well, that's really interesting. I like that idea of making it like a popsicle. So, any contraindications? If people are interested, is there anything that they need to know if they're going to be taking it? I always like to address that side of the conversation.
There's really no contraindications to it. There really are none. Even the sweetener is xylitol because it's good for the kids' teeth and gums. And so it's good for the mouth if they can make it a popsicle out of it, for instance. Or even sipping it is actually good for their teeth. So there's not any no real contraindications to it. Not to this product.
Right.
I guess where maybe took a whole too much, make some diarrhea. Maybe I don't know. I haven't seen it. Oh, one kid threw up. It was green. It's not green. Product was real green. The parents like flipped out. Oh my gosh, my kid. You know.
You know, I'm really happy that you sweetened it with xylitol because I am a big fan of xylitol, and I think that is one of the best sweeteners that we can be using because of its ability to stop the development of, you know, the growth of different bacteria in the mouth, and it doesn't spike your blood sugar. There are a lot of benefits to xylitol, the safe sweetener that actually looks and tastes like sugar but has none of the serious side effects from taking the basic sugar products. So if people are interested in learning more and if they are interested in ordering VaxGuard, and if they're interested in having a consultation with you because you're doing online consultations now, where is the best place for people to go?
The website is called VaxGuard.com, V-A, VaxGuard.com. VaxGuard.com. And for your listeners, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Go ahead, jump in there, because that's the point we want to tell people.
For your listeners, if you under the code you put down yes, you get a $5 discount on the product. So
the product is
$35.
So how much is the product?
$35.
Yeah, you know what? That price is so reasonable because I have, which is going to be $30 for people who are listening, because I have looked at other products out there on the market, and they can really be expensive. They're probably good, but they're really expensive. And like you, I want to find solutions that are affordable for people, that are effective, that have, you know, definitely been proven to work, and that are affordable. And I appreciate that you made this a really affordable price, and I especially appreciate that you're offering all my listeners $5 off if they put that coupon code in there, which is simple word, yes, for people to try, for their kids, for themselves, for their parents. I think that there's no doubt that we must provide additional support for our immune system. Whenever you're under stress, your immune system is challenged. We're in a fearful, stressful place, and we must support our immune system. We must find effective ways. And I have researched all of those components of VaxGuard, whether it's the vitamin C or NAC or quercetin, and I have all these different products sitting in my cabinet, but to have them all in one product that you've made so children will like the taste of it, so it's safe for kids as well as adults, I think is brilliant. It's really brilliant, and I'm so grateful for you having put this together. I'm really grateful for all the research that has gone in and your real passion and sincere compassion for the world, for all of us out there at this time. It's just such an honor and a pleasure to have met your acquaintance and to have you on the show. And I just want to be able to support what you're doing and let people know that there are some great products out there, and yours is really an excellent one. People should definitely have not only one in their medicine cabinets, but you want to be taking this on an ongoing basis to keep yourself strong. So
do you
have a last word? We have a minute or so. Dr. Rothstein, you have want to wrap it up with
Give you a piece of advice for the parents.
Comment.
Before giving your kids anything to take, always make sure you taste it first. Taste it first, because you want to know what kids are going to go through when they put that stuff in their mouths. So whatever it is, you parents always taste it first. And to get the first, it was a big deal trying to get this factor to taste good. But anything you give a kid, taste it first. And when you think about the big picture, the dynamic of a person's and health, you know, it's not just one little thing. It's a big thing. Oh, one last point I want to put out, by the way. After getting vaccines, a lot of doctors tell the parents to give the kids Tylenol to control symptoms. Well, Tylenol inhibits the production of glutathione in the liver. And interestingly enough, there were a few studies showed that the evolution from the vaccines into autism seems related to Tylenol use.
Wow.
Livers become enabled to process the adjuvants. So the VaxGuard has NAC, which is the antidote for Tylenol, so it's safe to take Tylenol if you're taking the VaxGuard. But the mechanism of action of how these things work, you got to take the big picture of that. So that's a little tidbit.
Yeah, that's important. That's an important piece of information, which I didn't realize either. But if you take VaxGuard, you really don't want to be taking Tylenol, right? So you don't need to.
But you won't need it.
You
won't
exactly.
Need it. But if you give a kid Tylenol for whatever reason, whatever it is, these actually will protect against side effects of Tylenol.
Right.
I might have not promoting Tylenol, but if you're going to take it, you should make it safer by doing this. So it has a lot of benefits, that'll become more and more obvious as time goes on.
Great information. So important that we understand these things and that we are empowered with the knowledge and also with accessing products like VaxGuard, which really has been developed from your wisdom and your love and certainly the expertise you have. So if you want to learn more about VaxGuard, about Dr. Rothstein's services, please go to VaxGuard, and that's VaxGuard.com. And if you'd like to try a bottle of it, purchase it, just put the coupon code YES in there. And Dr. Rothstein has given us a $5 discount for the product. So I thought that was just very generous of you, Dr. Rothstein. Thank you for doing that. And well, we've come to the end of the show. So I want to thank again my guest, Dr. Binyamin Rothstein, and also all of you listening. Thank you for joining me on What Women Must Know. This is all about empowering you with truthful information. Go to my Facebook page, by the way, What Women Must Know, because all my archived interviews are found there, so like me there, and you will not miss any of these important conversations. And until next week, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.